You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
July 12th marked the 6th month anniversary of the earthquake in Haiti. Along with the immense human suffering that resulted from the earthquake, it has also served as a pretext for transnational corporations looking to gain a foothold in the Haitian market. In April of this year, the agriculture and biotechnology corporation Monsanto donated a total of 60,000 sacks of pesticide-treated hybrid corn and vegetable seeds. This was seen by many as an example of aggressive disaster capitalism. Some have gone so far as to call it a second earthquake. Beverly Bell has dedicated decades to working for democracy, women's rights, and economic justice in Haiti. She's the author of Walking on Fire, Haitian Women's Stories of Survival and Resistance. She's a coordinator of Other Worlds and fellow with the U.S. Institute for Policy Alternatives, and she joins me on the phone from California. It's a pleasure to have you on our program, Beverly, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be with you this morning.
First of all, remind us of the term disaster capitalism.
Yes, it was, I believe, first coined by Naomi Klein in her brilliant book, Shock Doctrine, and it perfectly describes what is happening in Haiti today. I think most of us knew that poverty is very, very, very good business. I personally had yet to realize just what excellent business disaster is as well, but we're really seeing it at work in Haiti.
Tell us a little bit more of that application of this strategy in Haiti.
Sure. Well, so to date, about $11 billion has been pledged for Haiti. A lot of it we do not anticipate ever to be given. That's often the case. Once the television cameras and all the attention have gone away, the donors often renege on some of their promises, but very little of that has reached the people. In fact, food aid was cut off in March, and now water aid, free water, is even going to be cut off because Haitian businessmen have complained that it is eating into their profits for their private water companies. So you don't see the aid. People are still living in makeshift tents, often no more than 4 sticks and a bed sheet. And now in Haiti it is hurricane season, and people really have, most of them, most of those who lost their homes during the earthquake have received nothing in the way of that aid. And I would like to point out that the number of those who are left homeless and displaced right now is 1 in 7 in the country. That is 1.9 million out of a population of 9 million. So where has all that money gone? People are very interested to know. Well, first, for the U.S. donation, for the first few months after the earthquake, 40 cents on every U.S. dollar went to the U.S. military. I mean, this is just scandalous. People could not figure out why their humanitarian disaster was being responded to with enormous military vehicles cruising up and down the streets and with guns to begin with. A lot of it has gone to consultants. UNICEF consultants, for example, earn $30,000 a month, U.S. dollars, and were living in a luxury cruise liner off the coast of Port-au-Prince. So there's a lot of that. But a lot more of it has gone to contracts for people who, as you said, really have been looking to make a bundle off of this. It's just a wonderful opportunity for many business people. And one area where we have really seen it is in agriculture. So you mentioned Monsanto. They said that this was a donation. However, we aren't that gullible. We know that this is just a Trojan horse. The first year it's free. However, these are terminator seeds. Monsanto has taken out the gene that caused seeds to reproduce, and so they will not reproduce next year. So what will happen is that probably Haitians who receive these seeds may go ahead and eat their own seed stock because they're very, very, very hungry. And then next year they will have to purchase new seeds because these seeds will not come back next year. So Monsanto is poised to make quite a bit of money off of this hungry nation. We see another example of these really despicable contracts in agriculture through a corporation in the U.S. known as Early, E-R-L-Y. Early has three subsidiaries. It's so pernicious. It's really remarkable. One subsidiary is American Rice. American Rice has gotten rich for years off of selling their food, their product to USAID, U.S. Agency for International Development, which in turn has dumped it in Haiti, helping to destroy peasant agriculture and to increase hunger. And that is really the case since the earthquake. American Rice has just dumped a bundle and made a bundle of money off of this, leading to what is going to be just a tremendous increase in the food crisis because peasants are unable to sell anything that they're growing. In fact, this year's March rice harvest sat completely in warehouses in the rice-growing area of Haiti because no one could sell it. Sat there for 3 months because it couldn't compete with the free rice, and then when it was sold for exactly one-third lower than its price had been prior to the earthquake. Mm-hmm. So you have American rice that is increasing hunger in Haiti by undermining local production. Then you have Chemonix, a sister company, which then got a contract from U.S. Agency for International Development to monitor and evaluate hunger levels. And now you have another sister corporation named Winner that has the contract to distribute Monsanto seeds. I mean, it's really, you know, you could not have even thought that up if you were a novelist or a filmmaker. It's just so outrageous. And so that's the context in which Haitians, yet again, are serving the purposes of others.
Tell us a little bit about the seeds, these seeds that Monsanto, the corn seeds that Monsanto is dumping in into Haiti.
Yes. So as you mentioned, it's 60,000 sacks, which is 475 tons. And the corn seeds are hybrid, which there's nothing wrong with hybrid. You know, hybrid is just crossing two different, you know, the two best plants that you might have produced. I mean, that's what modern agriculture is. It's come from that over the generations. But as I mentioned, the difference here is that these hybrid seeds will not reproduce, and furthermore, they require a tremendous amount of pesticides and insecticides and fertilizers to grow, which Haitians don't use anything. They don't put anything at all on their plants because they're too poor, but as a result, their food is all organic. So now they're going to have to be buying these inputs. Furthermore, I discovered in email traffic between the Ministry of Agriculture of Haiti and Monsanto that the Calypso tomato seeds have been treated with something called thyram, which is so toxic to handle as seeds that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has banned its use for home gardeners in this country, in the U.S., and the only people who are allowed to work with it are industrial agricultural workers who wear special protective clothing, and all of the boxes have to be marked with danger. Well, in Haiti, you know, peasants don't have special protective clothing. They have almost no clothing, and they often farm just in a pair of cut-off shorts and flip-flops. Of course, they have no gloves or nothing, and no one has even told them that this is toxic. Furthermore, I have heard that some of them, because of the high levels of hunger, have been eating the seeds. And who knows what impact that will have. It's just terrible. So we don't even know what other chemicals are used. I just found that one reference in passing, just a brief and breezy mention from Monsanto, and was able to do some research and come up with that. So, yes, it's terrible, and Haitian peasants have said this is war. They've declared war against Monsanto. They're just furious. They say that the end of their Creole seeds, their local seeds, would be the end of agriculture. It would be effectively a massacre of the peasants, is what they've called it.
So in that rejection, do they have a campaign not to take the Monsanto seeds? What's that?
Yes. Several of the peasant organizations committed themselves to burning Monsanto seeds, and on June 4th, which is World Environment Day, they held a march. About 12,000 people showed up in one agricultural region and marched to a nearby town and burned seeds. And I'm also happy to report that in the U.S., after we publicized what was happening in Haiti, there were solidarity actions all over. I don't know what happened in Canada, but I know in the U.S., people took to the streets and burned Monsanto seeds in solidarity on June 4th, everywhere from the very, very small, isolated town of Missoula, Montana, to Seattle, Washington, where they marched to the headquarters of the Gates Foundation, which has been involved in promoting GMO seeds in Africa, and there burned Monsanto seeds. So, yes, there has been a very strong response, and I've also heard of peasants who did not realize that they had Monsanto seeds, and once they found out, have gone up and pulled their plants up from the field.
If we look at rebuilding a food system after an earthquake, a system that put people ahead of corporate profits, what would that look like?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because actually Haitian small farmers have a brilliant plan that they are urging be the linchpin of the redevelopment. Currently, the U.S. and the U.N. are basing Haiti's redevelopment on the expansion of the sweatshop sector, which did not serve Haitians who were earning $3.09 U.S. a day. Didn't serve them before the earthquake, and it won't serve them after. But they are urging instead that agriculture be the basis, because Haiti is quite unique in that it is the only country in the Americas that remains predominantly rural. And according to whom you ask or what research you do, between 60 to 80% of the Haitian population is farmers. And so that's a tremendous possibility, but they're not currently able to grow, primarily because of a 1983 standby agreement with the International Monetary Fund, which forced the Haitian government to lower tariffs and began the destruction of Haitian peasant agriculture, and certainly this aid that has been dumped in, even though it's not feeding the people and meeting their needs, is further undercutting agriculture. So even before the earthquake, Haitians were importing 57% of what they need to survive, of their food needs, 57%. And this is a country that as recently as the 1980s, before the IMF standby agreement, was self-sufficient. In fact, it was an exporting nation. This is really remarkable, and it's a good reminder that hunger is rarely a natural phenomenon. It's almost always political in origin. So in Haiti, you have a tremendous level of hunger, you have food shortage, you have dependence on foreign corporations, and you have the vast majority of the population that is unemployed. So what Haitians are saying instead is put agriculture at the center of the rebuilding process, and you will resolve all of the factors that I just mentioned. So the first thing that they are calling for is food sovereignty, which is the right of a people to grow and consume its own food. So this requires trade policies, of course, that support local production, but that is what could help. Those policies could help turn around this situation of dependence. They're also calling for decentralization of services, because one of the problems is that what they call the Republic of Port-au-Prince has everything. If you have a special medical need, you have to go to Port-au-Prince. If you need a driver's license or a school transcript, if you need education for your high school student, they have to go to Port-au-Prince. So it has left rural areas high and dry, unable to get any basic services. So what peasants are saying is that services have to come to them. They, too, are citizens of the nation. It will also require technical support, because agriculture has been defunded and disregarded and undermined, and so people will need assistance from government agronomists, and they will need help with tools and with training and all sorts of things. It will also require land reform, because those who work the land need secure tenure. Otherwise, again, they'll just be unable to support themselves. So they're asking not just for a one-time handoff from landed to landless peoples, because that, because when the poor farmers aren't able to support themselves, often they lose their land and it reverts to previous levels of concentration. So what they are asking is that there be an integrated and systemic land reform that actually changes land tenure patterns. And they're also asking for a ban on food aid in the medium to long term. They've recognized that it was essential right after the earthquake, but they're saying we can produce. We have food in this country. Buy from us. Allow us to feed the hungry people in the refugee camps. And it also requires seed sovereignty. Again, what Haitian peasants call the patrimony of humanity, and this is where Monsanto's action is really seen by them to be a real call to war. But what they say is if these things were done and if peasant agriculture got back up to speed, we could feed ourselves, we could support ourselves, we could also support a lot of the refugees, because these people who are left in the camps in Port-au-Prince have nothing to do and no way to support themselves, but they could become part of a functioning agricultural system and, in fact, return to the place where many of them were expelled from after they lost their land and were unable to survive on farming.
It's great to end on a vision of what can be and what the peasants of Haiti are working to make be. Thanks very much, Beverly.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Beverly Bell. She's coordinator for Other Worlds and a fellow with the U.S. Institute for Policy Alternatives. If you'd like more on this, go to her website, otherworldsarepossible.org.